They were game collectors, and they were the best of pals. Talked about a podcast, and now they're here to fill your hour. Power on, Retro Gaming Podcast. Power on, Retro Gaming Podcast. Power on, Retro Gaming Podcast.
Hello and welcome back to episode 25 of the Power On Retro Gaming Podcast. My name is Scott and joined by me, as always, is my co-host James. How you going, James?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Well, let's get straight into it. It's the 25th episode and we're going to talk about some games like we usually do.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell me what you've been playing lately?
Last I was playing was Spyro 3. I ended up beating that. Ended up getting the Platinum Trophy as well. I really had a lot of fun with this game. It was very similar to the first Spyro edition, as I think I mentioned on the previous podcast.
Yep.
A lot of new elements were brought into this game, like mini games and such. Brought some bit of variety into it. But I really enjoyed this game, and it was a pleasure to beat. But then after that, I actually started Stuntman Ignition, which was actually a pickup, which I found like for, I think it was like $6, free delivery on eBay. And I enjoyed the first one on the PS2, and I ended up beating that game as well. That was actually quite frustrating. It was a lot of restarting. If you've ever played the Stuntman series, you have to get everything perfect, or else the movie is not going to shoot. But yeah, really fun game. I enjoyed beating that, and my wife got involved in that one too. She ended up beating a couple of levels as well. I've just started playing the Sly Cooper trilogy. So we're on the first one now. This is on the PS3, the HD collection that was brought out a few years ago. I had never played the Sly Cooper games. I played, like, as you know, Ratchet and Clank and Jack and Dexter and all that. So it's kind of in the same sort of element. But I'm quite enjoying this game so far. I've only played it for a few hours here and there, but we're making my way through the game. It's a bit more challenging than just, say, Spyro, but it's not so much a collect-a-thon like Spyro was, which is very similar to Banjo-Kazooie. It's probably why I enjoyed Spyro a lot.
Yeah.
It's more you got to find everything, make sure you collect all the secrets, and it's very easy to die in this game. Pretty much if you don't have like this armor plate thing that you can collect, one hit will kill you.
Okay.
But yeah, besides that, that's the two games three games, Spyro, Stuntman, and now Sly Cooper. So I'm pretty much trying to finish a game once I start it, and then I'll try and move on to the next game. What about yourself, my friend?
Yeah, I've been running through a few different titles. I just had a question on Sly Cooper before we moved on. Is that series dead in the water, or is there, you know, I know you got HD collection, but who's behind that, and are we going to see any future for that character?
I'm pretty sure it's dead. Sucker Punch was the developer of the game. They're bringing out that game, Tsushima, which I think I mentioned last week, yeah, or the week before in the gaming news. I believe they made the trilogy, and then the third, the fourth edition was released on the PS3. So the trilogy originally came out on the PS2.
Yeah.
And then they released Thieves in Time on the PS3, and I believe that was done by someone else. And we haven't heard anything ever since then. So yeah, I'm not too sure if it's going to continue. But once the original developer leaves and gives it to someone else, just like they did with Crash, they did with Spyro, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, because I have the HD collection on the Vita, and I'm guessing that was the last installment of the game, or the port of that game.
Yeah, so it'd be like very similar to the game that I'm playing right now on the PS3.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, there you go. It's interesting that creators give their franchises away, or their properties away, for someone else. It's almost like you put in so much effort and then you just sign it over to someone else.
Yeah, it's like with Spyro and Crash, after the first three, or I suppose they did Crash Bash as well, Activision bought them out, and you saw a bunch of releases on the GameCube and the PS2, and they just weren't as good once they went to the other developer, or they were pretty much trying to do the same thing that the original developer did, but they just weren't expanding on the idea.
Right.
Okay. So, yeah, that's probably where they're at, and I don't think they'll make any other games. But from what I hear, Thief in Time is okay, but not as good as the first three.
Well, there you go. Could be the end of Sly Cooper.
Yeah, I think so.
Anyway, well, yeah, what I've been playing lately, I've just finished off after last week's episode. We spoke about Ninja Turtles. I went and picked up, well, not picked up, but I started playing again, Ninja Turtles Mutants in Manhattan on the Xbox One.
Yep.
And I completed that day, so I was pretty far into it, so it didn't take me too long to complete it. I completed the Hyrule Warriors game, which I spoke about having on the Switch not too long ago. Completed that the other day, so that was good. Completed Gears of War 3 on the Xbox One. I had it as a free download when I bought, I think it was Gears of War 4 came with the original trilogy, so I just downloaded the third one because I hadn't completed that. I do have a physical copy of it, but it was just easy to download it and play it. On the Xbox One, I also completed Devil May Cry, which is stylized to DMC, which is the, I guess, the reboot of the series, which you've probably seen on my Instagram that I was putting up photos of the game and showing my displeasure. It just wasn't a great game. It almost just became a platforming puzzle game.
Okay.
Because you're just jumping from platform to platform and working out ways to sort of grapple across different areas. And, yeah, just really out there. Just breeze through it, but didn't like it at all. Dynasty Warriors next on the PS Vita is one I've been playing for a while. It was actually the second game I owned on the Vita.
You're a fan of that series, aren't you?
Not so much. I like Samurai Warriors, but I got this cheap on release, so I've had it for a very long time, and I'm probably about 40 minutes out from completing it.
Okay.
It's been a long run because there's a lot of content, and the graphics are just amazing. I can't believe it. For the Vita, it's just great. So I'll probably end up beating that in the next few days, so that'll be one to put away, and I really want to move on to Epic Mickey on the Vita.
Yep.
Because I've got that, and I've just been interested in playing that. Another one was Sonic Mania. I've been playing a little bit with that with my brother-in-law, but I'll just myself. It's just a fun game. It's styled like the original Sonic games. It sort of plays well, sort of like the Sonic CD game.
Yep.
And also it saves per level. Yeah, it's really, really interesting. The music's great in it too. It just has that really cool boppy style, which we saw in Sonic CD, which I really liked. And so that's a pleasure to play. Continuing on with Final Fantasy 1, I sort of made it a little bit of a mission this year to try and beat some of the old Final Fantasy games. So I've gone through, and I'll talk about this in a moment, and tried to pick up all the ones I didn't have. But I'm starting Final Fantasy 1. I'm probably about 7 hours into it on the PSP. It's challenging, but I have spoken about how I've been playing it, but I'm still going on that. Paper Mario 64 on the Wii U I've been playing, as well as recent as yesterday, I've started playing Color Splash again, so two Paper Mario games.
And in the comparison of the two, what are you finding better?
Color Splash is, the original Paper Mario on the 64, you go up levels and you can boost different stats. In Color Splash, you can do 100 random battles and you really don't get anything from it.
Mm-hmm.
So the incentive isn't to actually finish the fight. I'm finding that there is some enemies that are stronger than others, and I just run away because there's no point. Well, you're not gaining anything, whereas in Paper Mario 64, you go up levels, you can boost your HP, your hit points, your special abilities. You don't have that aspect in Color Splash, so why waste your time? But Color Splash looks amazing. It's got pop culture references. The dialogue's great. Everything about it is just set up perfectly. So they've some areas that I like in the 64 version, but Color Splash is definitely superior. And that's not just because of the graphics. I think the aspects of the gameplay are better, but you can definitely see how far it's come from playing the two back to back.
Okay.
F-Zero on the Super Nintendo. I've been playing on the handheld, the Super Boy,
Yep.
recently.
Fun game.
Fun game. Soundtrack's great. It's good to just pick up and go. Try to sort of have one SNES game going.
Yep.
I'm not sure if it's on the Switch. I should probably check.
I'm not sure.
Anyway,
It might be.
yeah. Well, it's yeah. That's a really cool game. The funny thing about my Super Boy, I'm not sure if all of them do this, is when my battery's running low, the screen turns off, but the music continues. So
Okay.
you can hear the game still playing, but you just lose the. It's not a big deal, but yeah, that's what happened. And Metal Gear on Xbox One, I think it's called the Phantom Pain. Might be wrong there. I don't like these games. I don't like games where you sneak around. I don't know why I'm playing it, but I'm through the first chapter, and it's been pretty good so far. It's a lot more action than I thought it was going to be. So let's see what happens. But silly me, I've actually gone on the hunt for the HD remake, not remake, HD versions of the first two on the Vita. I'm in a bidding war with someone, which should be ending during this show, which
Oh,
is
okay.
becoming a theme because the other day I won a Metroid game while we were on the show. Anyway, but yeah, I'm playing
Yeah, I
that.
do remember the breaking news.
Yeah, so I'm just, I mean, there was two, and someone got me on the other one, but I'm trying to get it goes for around $80, and I'm sort of around the $22 mark at the moment. I don't really want to spend much more than 30.
Yep.
Anyway, yeah, so those are the games I've sort of been playing.
Okay.
Also, Tomb Raider, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, which is the last of the trilogy. Not really
That it
enjoying
is.
it. Not really enjoying that one as much as the first two, especially the first one.
I definitely agree. Like I didn't mind it, but it definitely wasn't on par with just say the second one. I thought the second one was phenomenal. The third one was good, had a bit of twists and turns, but it wasn't as fast paced, I suppose. I wasn't gripping with the story as much as the second one or the first one.
I
But yeah,
actually
that's just my opinion.
listened to a podcast we did earlier where we both discussed how much we enjoyed the first one. It's almost disappointing with this one because I knew what they were going to do with it. It was going to be a slow game where not much is happening.
Yep.
And then at the end, it was just going to be all systems go gunfight.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what's happened. I knew that was going to happen. Look, the game looks great. It's a beautiful world where, that you can see with all the tombs and how it's all set up, exploring them. And then it just
Yep.
turns into basically a run and gun game, which, almost kills it for me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that's pretty much it for the last couple of weeks. Obviously, I'm off on holidays for a little bit, so I've been playing a fair bit of stuff on different consoles, which has been cool. But I have sort of knocked over a few games that I was at, 80% of the way through. So that's why I've been able to start a few new things.
Well, that's good. That's good.
So in terms of adding anything to your collection, have you got anything over the last couple of weeks?
Online, one of the American Facebook groups, I saw that the Neo Geo Mini International Edition was on sale on Amazon. Someone pointed it out, and I quickly saw it and I quickly jumped on it because it's usually $150 here, and it was probably $33 US on Amazon, so went to about $60 Australian plus delivery. So I think I got it for like $65 Australian all up, and that arrived in the mail. I still haven't unpacked it out of the little packaging that they delivered it in, but that was a pretty cool pickup. Saved a lot of money on that one. I
Yeah, especially because you
also
haven't played it.
I will play this one. There's a lot of games on it.
that's something I definitely get because I love the Neo Geo, but I was burnt by that Neo Geo X console that came out.
Yep.
I dropped $200 on that, and the guy's like, "Yeah, it plays the cards," and I was like, "Oh, beauty!"
It didn't
So
play the cards?
didn't play the cards. Had the card
Oh no.
slot, but didn't open. Yeah,
Oh no.
and it's like.
Besides that, there's been a few pickups, but I'm gonna do a bit of a collection video on the Facebook page coming up, and I'll just unpackage everything and just pretty much explain all my pickups, so that should be coming out in the next couple of weeks. But besides that, the Neo Geo is the big thing at the moment.
Okay. Secretive as always. I like it.
Yeah, you know it.
Well, as for me, I mean, I got a copy of Secret of Evermore on the Super Nintendo.
Yep.
Which I've talked about a lot to you in the past. I got it fairly cheap because the sticker is sort of faded, but plays well. I mean, it's not a big deal to me.
Yeah, that's the kind of like red Maroni label one.
Yeah, it's got like a... I've actually got it in my hand right now. It's got like a some sort of lobster...
Lobster spider sort of thing.
Lobster spider with a krang in its stomach and a kid holding a bone with a malnourished dog next to him. So,
Because I don't think that one was actually made by the same developers as the first Secret of Mana.
No,
I believe it's Sony or someone else did it.
I think it was made by the guys that did Final Fantasy. I did some light research on it the other day because I wanted to know before I purchased it, because I bought the there was a trilogy pack released on the Switch which had Secret of Mana. I'm trying to remember now. I'm going to be wrong, but it had three games on it in it. And I thought this might have been included.
Yep.
So I checked, but this is by a different developer, but they've sort of used the same name.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Have you played this one?
I haven't, but it is in the collection.
Deep in the archives, yeah. In going with the, I touched on how I wanted to sort of start working my way through the Final Fantasy games. I went out and got Final Fantasy 3 on the DS, which came today. And I also got 5 and 6. So now I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and all the new ones, and including actually today in the mail, finally my Final Fantasy VII remake came from New Zealand. I have an up to date.
Was that Mighty Ape you got it from?
Yeah, it was.
Yep.
They threw in some coasters because of the delay, which is nice.
Anyway, is nice.
So I got that, and it was interesting because Final Fantasy III came as well, and I opened that, and then I opened VII. I was like, oh, here we go. So. that's cool. I don't know how I want to beat the original Final Fantasy VII first, because I've been playing it on the Vita when I was in America. I was about 3/4 of the way through it, so I might try to beat it on that first, then play the remake. I'm not in any particular rush, because I just feel like you should sort of complete the original games before you play the remakes.
I do agree, except for when I beat Resident Evil 3 and whatnot.
Yeah. and the Sly games.
Yeah.
And Spyro. Yeah.
Yeah.
And pretty much any game. I also got Infinite Undiscovery on the Xbox 360. There's a Instagrammer that I follow that collects all the Xbox, and it was a JRPG which has been translated and released in our region. So I looked at that and thought, I'll give that a crack.
Yep.
And I'm looking at getting Blue Dragon, but I'm just trying to work out if I have it or not. I've got a feeling I do, but I know that it was always around at EB Games. I never grabbed it, but I might. I'm just trying to remember if I had it, but it's only going to be about a $10 game anyway, so it's not going to be the worst if I buy it again, because I probably won't even know.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah. Anyway, that's what I've picked up in terms of games lately, in the last couple of weeks anyway. So it's been pretty good.
No, it's good.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll get into the topic of this episode. We are basically going to discuss, this is a topic.
Yep.
We're going to discuss in our lives up to now, receiving a gaming gift that was unknown to us, what the game was, and to our surprise, the game actually being good. So why don't you start us off and tell us about an experience you had with this?
Yeah. So this is one that I actually brought up on the Facebook page. I still remember when I received this game. It's called Tokyo 2 Championship Touring Cars. Pretty much I was with my family up in Mallacoota for the summer holidays, and it was about in 1998.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much unwrapped this under the tree Christmas Day, and I was just like more or less just shocked, because I was like, what the hell is this? It's just a racing game, which I barely play racing games. I probably played Gran Turismo 2, but that's about it. I was just like, why? I didn't want this for Christmas. There was probably like a million other gifts, other games that I would have loved.
Yeah.
So my theory has always been that my father saw this at probably like Toys R Us back then, and was just like, "Oh, this looks pretty good. I'll kick this for my son, and yep. I'll play it myself."
Yep.
And that's probably what happened. So yeah, Toca Touring Cars, it pretty much turned out to be a fun game for what it was. Still not my sort of thing. Like, it's just like a game that I'm going to talk about next, but it's just your typical racing around the track. I don't watch it in real life. I don't like racetrack games. I don't like racetrack sports. It's just not my thing. But for some reason, my dad thought this would be a good idea for a Christmas gift. Definitely it was for him. But the next game I'm going to talk about is F1 2000. Mm-hmm. Another very similar sort of game. My mum actually got this one for me, but I think it was because she wanted to get me the steering wheel and pedals because it was like a combination item. Mm. And this was probably in the year 2000 as well. So it was coming up to F1 2001 coming out. I think it was a bit of a clearance gift. It was just more like so I could have some games with the PS2 when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, I didn't play it all that much, but it's fun for what it was. But that steering wheel set plus F1 really didn't get that much use. But for what it was a fun game. Mm. Yeah, I'm not sure where you're at with racing games yourself. What is your opinion on them?
Racing games? Well, yeah, I mean, I wasn't going to mention this in my two, but one of the games I got as a random from my auntie was actually Mario Kart on the Super Nintendo.
Okay, yep.
And absolutely loved it, but that was probably my first racing game.
Yep. So that's a game that... Mario Kart I had on the Super Nintendo as well. Yeah. Plus, I had the Mario Kart 64. But yeah. I actually enjoy those. They're on a different scale.
Yeah, they're not really... I don't think you really reflect them as racing games because you're sort of familiar with the characters and the world that you're in is, you know, in that case, it was Mario and, you know, Diddy Kong Racing is another one. Those are the sort of racing games that I play. But I did have Ridge Racer 4 on PS1. Loved that. Need for Speed, Most Wanted, I loved that one. Underground, loved that. Didn't like the second one, Don't Kill Me.
Once again, they're like arcade games, arcade races. I'm talking about the track racing, like professional racing, where Forza, for example, like you have to go around the track very carefully. If you hit someone, you get penalized. If you go off the track, you're pretty much going to drop back or get penalized or spin out. I love arcade racing games. I think they're so much fun, but the professional ones, I just can't get around them.
Yeah, well, I can't say that I've played. I mean, Ridge Racer is probably the closest to that sort of game. I mean, F1 Pole Position on the Super Nintendo is pretty advanced for what it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, I play racing games, you know, where it's like Sonic Transformed and you know, futuristic flying mobiles like those Wipeout series, stuff like that. Like you said, with power-ups and stuff, not so much those typical racing games where it's actually like you got to do a lap in a certain amount of time and, you know, all that sort of stuff, you know. That's not the kind of games I'm talking about when it comes to racing that I would play.
Yeah, same here. Like I found Ridge Racer 1 or the PS1 was the first PlayStation game I had. I found it fun. I didn't find like it was a real racing game. It was an arcade game, something that you could play at the arcades. Daytona, same sort of thing.
It was an arcade. Daytona was a lot of fun. But yeah, there wasn't. I didn't really play any racing games that I can think of. I had that one on the 64, which I touched on in another episode, but I can't recall its name. That was
Top Gear.
Yeah, I think it might have been Top Gear.
Overdrive.
Top Gear Overdrive with the Viper on the front of the teeth, yeah. My dad got us that, but he was riding. He's riding to circuit racing as well, so maybe that was for him. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because we were never into that. We're not into cars as kids. We weren't, you know. So there was no reason for us to have anything like that. But, yeah, I mean, we loved Mario Kart from day one. Played the life out of it, you know. There was, I guess, a level that the thing that the closest circuit that resembled an actual, you know, proper racing game was the one where you fall off the edge, and that's like the Ghost Mansion, I think, level on the Super Nintendo.
That was a very tight corners.
Yeah, because it's like you got to be actually really careful, like if you're in a real race. But that's just, I mean, as far as it goes.
Yeah. One other game that was wasn't so much a gift, but it was something that I didn't really want. See, back when we had the PS2, we had the AR2 card and a chip where you could just get burnt games. As I mentioned in the past, I got my PS2 real early on, and this was, you had to do a boot disc and a boot swap to play burnt discs. And one of them that pretty much had a list of games, and my mum went over to this guy's house and got a bunch of games. It's where we got the chip from. And one of the games was Stuntman. Now, I just mentioned before that I beat Stuntman Ignition on the PS3. Now, this is the original Stuntman. I did not want this, but oh my God, how much fun was this game? I absolutely loved it. I went over to my cousin's. He loved it. My mates came over. They played it. They loved it. It was just so difficult, but it was just so much fun. It was just an unwanted thing that turned out to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And so, I suppose that's what this topic's all about.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, you're playing... Yeah, you're what, currently playing... Is the Stuntman game you're playing at the moment, does that have racing aspects?
Yeah, you're pretty much... it's either a bike or a car, and you pretty much could perform the stunts for the movie.
Yep.
And it's all about racing through precision driving, but it's just the way it's done, it's a lot of fun. Very frustrating, but it's a challenge that you want to keep doing and keep winning, unlike, just say, driving around the track, making sure that you're going to win in this very meticulous way. I really don't know how people watch F1 racing at the 3 o'clock in the morning to see how they're doing in the other side of the world. Just not my thing.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. it's one of those things. I guess everyone's got their interests, and it's definitely not mine. But okay, well, yeah, there's two little unexpected games that turned out to be quite good.
Yeah. Thank you.
The first one that I have is a game on the Super Nintendo called Super Swiv. I don't know if you say Swiv or you pronounce it SWIV, or it's called Firepower 2000 in the USA.
Yeah.
Super Nintendo game released in 92. You can play as it's a top-down viewing.
It's a shooter, yeah?
It's a shooter, yeah. So, we didn't really have any violent, I'm not going to say this game's violent, but any really shooting games on the Super Nintendo. My parents didn't really like it. So this sort of came out of nowhere just for my birthday. My birthday is 2 days before Christmas, so I got it was the same year I got Mario Kart, I got this. Mm-hmm. This, and then 2 days later got this game. You use a tank or a plane, and you're on rails and you're going up the screen just shooting different objects, and it's quite difficult, but I have got quite far in it because I've played so much of it, developed by Sunsoft. But yeah, like, fun little game. Didn't expect anything out of it, and ended up, you know, being something that I never knew anyone else to have, but a really, really fun game.
In my opinion, it is a very fun game as well.
I mean, the thing with it was, sorry to cut you off there, but I didn't actually think about it for a long time. Then I was watching a YouTube review of a game, and they were talking about Firepower 2000, and I was like, that sounds so familiar to this game that I had. And then it turns out that it's the same game. So I'm not sure what why the name was changed. I'm guessing it had something to do with, you know.
It'd be everything gets censored over in Europe and Australia.
Yeah. But, you know, it's one of those games that's very obscure. You don't hear anything about it. No one else had it. Do you own a copy?
I do own a copy now, but I did not know about this game until, like, just say 5-6 years ago. Actually, it's a very fun game. When I came in the mail, I ended up playing, and I played it for a fair bit, but it's just in the collection right now. But it's something that I would go back to. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and you know, it had the two-player cooperative, which was cool. My brother used to play it. You know, you can at the start, at the opening scene, choose what you want to use. If you want to use a plane or the tank, tank's a lot easier, to be honest.
Yep.
But you know, just a little gem that, you know, you open these up as a kid and you're like, well, really rolling the dice with this one, but you, because you don't have a, like today we have every game you ever think of, but back then you sort of, you know, you only had your 10 games or whatever it was, sometimes less, and you just play things repeatedly. And yeah, this is really cool. It was released on the Mega Drive as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, good game. The other one was a Game Boy Advance game that I got shortly after getting the Game Boy Advance. My mum must have told her friend who gave me a birthday Christmas present, and this game was Boxing Fever. Yeah, did you ever play it?
No, I never heard of it.
Yeah, so like I was pretty surprised with this because I've never played a boxing game. I have no interest. I have more interest in boxing now. I like watching it, but back then I had no interest in it. I didn't play any of the boxing games on the NES or the SNES. But yeah, like it's just so crazy. I remember seeing, because you know when you used to get a Game Boy Advance game, it was always wrapped up. You could tell it was a Game Boy Advance game. I'm expecting something like, you know, Wario or something like that. And it was really out there to get this gift because we never got anything. We didn't get these kind of gifts from these family friends.
Yep.
And it either was extremely cheap or they were feeling generous.
Yeah.
And I've actually got the box in my hand right now because I was looking at it before. And, you know, it's in good condition because I actually kept all my Game Boy Advance games.
Yep.
That's in good. The cases. Yeah. So THQ, I think they did Tony Hawk's.
They did.
Yeah. So, but yeah, not really much to say about it. But yeah, 2D sort of, you see the boxing gloves on your side and you see the opponent and you can duck and swing. And I just remember the graphics really stood out to me. And I was like, wow, that looks really cool for a Game Boy Advance game, and it played really well, and I just remember having so much fun with it. Haven't played it in probably 20 years, but yeah, it scored well. As much as I did a bit of research last night, and it's, you know, it's got some pretty good scores, 75% Metacritic. So
that's good.
You can, you know, you can play on multiplayer as well on the link cable. So
I'll have a look into it.
Yeah, check it out. I mean, I can't tell you much more. But it is sort of, I guess, like that Punch-Out game. But
yeah, it'd be like Super Punch-Out, I could imagine.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was a lot closer. This game's a lot closer in, whereas that was, because in this you can only see the gloves. I haven't really played Punch-Out, so I can't tell you. But yeah, I was really surprised when I opened it. I was like, oh, okay. And then played it a little bit, and I was like, oh, this is fun. So
yep.
One of those games, you know, it's not always the case when you get stuff. You know, I would never have. Look, you haven't even heard of it, and you know everything about games. So sometimes it's a game. it's sort of like the Wii. These days, you know, we go on YouTube, people say, oh, this is a hidden gem and stuff. But back then, there was really no way of knowing.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, like, just I would never have purchased it myself. So to play that, I was like, yeah, that's really cool. It's a cool game.
No, good.
So there you go. All right, well, that's pretty much the topic, the two games that we turned into unexpected gems, I guess you'd call them. But we actually had a question come in, believe it or not, and this one's from friends of the show that you've actually featured on. That's Gamers Down Under. So feel free to subscribe to them and like their Facebook page. But their question,
check out their podcast as well.
Check out their podcast, especially what was it, the 4th episode and the 9th episode,
something like that. Yeah, yeah,
featuring one James. Yeah, but the question to us was, being retro gamers, do you believe the gaming industry is stagnant as there seems to be a lot of remakes and not as many new IPs? This is something we have sort of touched on in the past, how we're displeased with, I guess, a heap of remakes and not so many new games. And if they are bringing out new games, they're of low quality. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, we've touched on the question multiple times in the past, but I'll just go over it again. Like, we're seeing so many remakes. Like, you've got the Final Fantasy VII that you just talked about, but that is sort of like a game built from the ground up again. Like, I don't mind a HD remake from maybe a PS1 game to just say a little bit of HD for the PS3 or the PS4, where it's just improving the game for visuals these days. But I think they should be working on brand new games. Like some of the games that they're remaking, they don't need remaking. Like I've got a game topic, for example, in the news that I'll mention, Mafia Trilogy is being remade. Now, the first one, yes, it came out on the PS2. That could do with a remake, and it's been built from the ground up. I'm actually very excited for it. Mafia 2, I don't think that the graphics are that bad because it came out on the PS3. And with the third one, that only came out at the end of 2016, doesn't need a HD remake. So, yes, I would like to see a Mafia 4 work on that instead.
Yeah. I mean, that, is it an issue of money for the industry? Because, look, like you said, we see a lot of these games being HD. Like we even spoke about on another episode, Mario All-Stars sort of being some sort of a HD remake. And, yeah. I mean, how many times has that been re-released? But there seems to be more people playing games than ever before. You've got mobile games, you got online gaming, you got DLC, you got online pay-to-play, you got all sorts of things, multiple consoles, you got Steambox, everything. Like, people play video games. Everyone plays them, from mums and dads to young kids, teens, whatever. So is it a issue with, like, Hollywood? Is it sort of like, well, we could take a chance on a brand new game, or we could go ahead and remake Banjo-Kazooie, and we know that instantly we've got 2 million copies sold?
That's a good question. Like, the Hollywood thing right there, that drives me insane too. Just come up with a damn new movie. Just think of an idea. I'm sick of seeing remakes of an old classic. Like, why are you doing Ghostbusters? Why are you doing Back to the Future? Just stop ruining them.
Back to the Future?
Yeah, they're doing Back to the... They wanted to do Back to the Future.
Mm.
Have you heard that one?
No, I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, I don't want it to happen. It's a talks at the moment. It's not been confirmed, but it's
well.
It's
welcome
talks.
Back to the Projector On Movie Review Podcast, because things are about to change. No, but I know what you mean, though. It seems like you can. It is easy to say that. It is to say, look, come up with an idea. All right, you got a magical dragon, and like you just come up with something, and people aren't that impressed with it. That can be hard to sell something to someone, especially if it's not an online shooter like a COD. That's easy, because people are always going to play shooters, military style shooters.
What about if the toaster goes back in time for some reason? It features a talking pie.
What?
It's a Simpsons reference.
Oh, okay. I think I know what you're talking about.
There was crickets in the room. There was crickets in the room.
I thought you were talking about the Brave Little Toaster. I'm like, I'm pretty sure there's a Super Nintendo game for that.
Homer pitches that idea to Ron Howard, and then Howard pitches it to the movie producer.
Maybe you could get that for the intro music. But yeah, to really answer that question, is it stagnant? I guess it sort of is, because
it definitely is.
2 weeks ago, we spoke about how they might be remaking, you know, Mario Galaxy, Mario 64. Like, that's cool. Like, Mario 64 to be remade, that'd be awesome. But at the same time, Mario Sunshine 2 would also be cool.
Yeah.
You know, Banjo-Kazooie 3, perhaps a really well done Bubsy game on. Like, they don't have to remake the games all the time. Like, even Sakura Wars just came out on PS4, and it's a slight reboot. Like, why is it a slight reboot? You've already got, what is it, 8 games behind the series. It's got a big following in Japan. It's moved over to the West. Like, it's popular.
Yeah.
You know, we get Persona 4 and Persona 5, and then 6 months later we get the same game with a bunch of DLC included into it. Like, it doesn't make any sense why they do that. And I guess it is stagnant, but it's also just comes down to money. Like,
yeah,
you know, and it doesn't always hit the targets that you'd expect. Like Resident Evil 3, it's copped a lot of shit. And you know, it might have been fun to play through, but you're not going to rush back and play that anytime soon. You probably never ever play it again, to be honest.
Yeah, probably. Probably not.
And that's the thing. Like, now they're talking about making Resident Evil 4 remake. Like, that's one of my favorite games. Like, why does it need a remake?
No, it doesn't. I don't find the GameCube or even the PS4 edition that came out a couple of years ago. There's nothing wrong with it.
That's right. It's only happening because they've probably got a team there and perhaps they've got a contract for another game and they said, look, we can make a new game or we can just go ahead and do this. And then you got another Resident Evil game coming out anyway, which is going to be a new, a brand new game. But in saying that, the Biohazard game, Resident Evil 7, no one's talking about that. Everyone's talking about Resident Evil 3 and 2 being remade.
Yeah.
You know, Devil May Cry, the game I just spoke about that I completed remake, was really bad. So they went back and made a fifth installment, which I haven't heard much about it, but I'm guessing it wasn't great because it's been heavily discounted on the online store. But it's an interesting time because, you know, like you look at Spider-Man on the PS4 and how amazing that was.
Mm-hmm.
Like that game has been done before. We might disagree a little bit on that, but it's the same characters from all the other Spider-Man games, same premise, same hero, same everything, but it's amazing. It's told in a different way. It's got, you know, updated graphics, state-of-the-art, you know, gameplay and mechanics, voice acting. It's really cool. It ties into sort of some of the newer aspects of the Spider-Man comics.
Yep.
But again, it's you're buying it because you're a fan of Spider-Man from when you're a kid, basically.
Yep.
But when I saw Rhino in it and when I saw Scorpion, I was like, oh, it's the same four enemies that have been, you know, in the original Spider-Man game, which was on, I think it was on the PS1.
Yeah. Amazing Spider-Man or whatever it was.
Yeah, but we don't see, I mean, you could even say sequels are almost somewhat of a remake because they're cashing in on the original game, but at least they built off something original rather than just going, okay, well, that game was really popular back in 1995.
Yep.
You can probably belt it out on this engine for, you know, maybe a million and sell 2 million copies, then we make our money back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, I mean, I wasn't really impressed with Final Fantasy VII. Not the idea of it I'm talking about is because they teased it on the PS3 and then it took to the end of the life of the PS4 to actually get it. If anything, they should just be giving it to us for free because it took them so long. I mean, it's $79 and I guess they've done it from the ground up, but still, like, what took you so long? Well, the fans were asking for, there's been petitions for it for what, 10 years plus?
Yeah.
Oh, geez, we're the one that buy this stuff.
I know.
Yeah, I guess that sort of answered the question. Yes, it is stagnant, and I don't think it's going to change. If anything, it's probably going to get worse.
Yeah, 100%.
Not many people are playing as many single-player games, and that's why retro games become so popular, because older gamers like ourselves can get together and discuss, you know, Boxing Fever or you know, have fun telling stories about those games, but we're not going to talk about Black Ops or anything like that in 20 years, because they'll probably be, you know, Call of Duty, whatever.
They'll be like what they did Modern Warfare a few years ago, and now they've got another Modern Warfare. It's like the same game, but it's different.
Well, I remember I spoke to one of the guys at work. He was a 19-year-old, and I said, oh, man, that Call of Duty, the original one and the second one, were so good. I just absolutely loved them. It was fantastic. He's like, oh, yeah, I used to play that online all the time. I'm like, what are you talking about? It was like, wasn't online. And he's like, yeah, I played it all the time. Like, no, it was like World War II. It's basically like Easy Company, and you know, you drop from a parachute and it's sick. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, he had no idea what I was talking about. He thought the first COD games were those online ones. So
yeah, Call of Duty 2 on the Xbox 360. I had so much fun with that game. Thought it was just a masterpiece.
Yeah, we played it at your place, I remember.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, should we get to our two reviews?
We should. Do you want to go first?
I will definitely go first with this one. My topic, you may or may not have played this one, came out on the Sega Master System and also the Sega Game Gear that you have three of but do not work. Stars a lovable little mouse. It's very popular around the world.
Yeah.
He's known as Mickey Mouse. And This is Land of Illusion starring Mickey Mouse, and it was released in Japan as Mickey Mouse, no Mahu, no Crystal.
I didn't know you were going to go for it. Oh, God. One more, please. One more attempt.
One more?
Yeah,
all right. Land of Illusion starring Mickey Mouse, released in Japan as Mickey Mouse, no Mahu, no Crystal.
That sounded pretty good.
It's a platform game developed by and published by Sega, or Sega, for the Master System and the Sega Game Gear. It was released in the PAL territories in June of 1993. The Master System version never saw a release in Japan and North America, so it pretty much only came out to us. But I believe they saw something on the Game Gear over in the States and I think Brazil as well. The game is a sequel to The Castle of Illusion, which did come out the North American region. And it came out over here on the Master System and the Mega Drive as well. Now, when starting up the game, a short movie is shown. Mickey falls asleep with a book of fairy tales in his lap. Later, he wakes up in a strange village. A girl comes up to him, asks him for help. She says the magical crystal has been stolen from the villagers, and Mickey decides to help the villagers and goes after the evil phantom who has stolen the crystal. So pretty much this phantom is the bad guy in the game. You as Mickey are pretty much got to go rescue everyone. Land of Illusion is a typical platform game with the player side-scrolling his way through 14 stages. Trying to receive the crystal for the villagers, Mickey can attack his enemies by picking up an item and throwing it at his enemies. You gain new abilities as you progress through the game and collect new items and gain additional stars, which is pretty much your health meter. It's 8-bit graphic game, very much similar to the NES. If you haven't played the Sega Master System, the Sega Master System has better graphics and better sound than the NES, so you're looking at better visuals and audio there.
Yep.
I picked this game up at the garage sale that I mentioned on a couple of episodes ago with our greatest pickups in the wild, at the guy in Camberwell or Malvern or wherever it was. I played the Castle of Illusion probably I've got the Mega Drive version, but I actually played the Sega Master System version a couple of weeks after that garage sale. Then I played this, and they're both really good games. If you're into any side-scrolling platforming games, you're going to enjoy the Mickey series. Even on the Mega Drive or the Super Nintendo, they're all really good games. It's a very good game. There's not much to it. If you played any Disney platforming game in the 80s and 90s, you pretty much know what to expect. It's going to have great visuals, great audio, good gameplay as well. It's not on the easy side, but it's not on the too hard side. It's beatable. You just got to know which enemies you can jump on, what does what, and like any game from that era. It's actually a very fun game. It's a game that's pretty cool that it's only exclusive to us, not so much where most games are exclusive to the North American region. So it's a good one to have. It's probably collectors over the other side of the world who want this game, while there's ones that we want over there. And I'd give this game a 7.8.
Okay.
It's a fun game. I do recommend it to anyone. I actually love the Disney series on the 8-bit and 16-bit games. After that, it got a bit... I could probably go without them. Well, but anyways, yeah.
Good review there, James.
Thank you. what have you got for me?
I have a video game which was the first in the series, which is based off an animal that has trouble making friends because it... Well, even getting a girlfriend or boyfriend because it can't get close due to part of its body causing harm to the other animal. I know what you're thinking, and that is Sonic the Hedgehog for the Sega Mega Drive, the first game in the series.
Is it?
What?
Is
oh, no,
it?
Sorry. It's not the first one on the Sega Mega Drive.
Sonic.
Sonic the Hedgehog, yeah.
He brings harm, does he?
No. A hedgehog has spikes, so they can't.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get at. They can't.
That went straight over my head.
Yeah, I'm running on low sleep here, so I'm trying to come up with something clever. But basically, a hedgehog has spikes on its back, so when it feels threatened, it goes into a ball and can cause harm to other hedgehogs, therefore making procreation difficult. Anyway, so they took that idea and came up with a 2D side-scrolling platform game developed by the Sonic Team and published by Sega in 1991, Sega Mega Drive version. Yeah. Obviously, everyone knows who Sonic is. There was recently a movie based on the character. I haven't seen it. Released in 91 in PAL and Japan regions. It features Sonic, which was pretty much the, I guess he was the Sega mascot, in some ways still is. He is, which is on his quest to stop Dr. Robotnik, who is the evil scientist who's been imprisoning animals and turning them into robots, imprisoning them in robots, if I remember correctly, because he's also stolen the powerful Chaos Emeralds. So the game involves 2D side-scrolling at fast pace, collecting rings, dodging attacks from these robots, jumping on them in order to release the animal from inside. So I'm going to say that you probably own this, am I right?
I do own it.
Yeah, and you've played plenty of it?
I've played enough of it, yeah.
Okay, good. I find in the first, going back and playing the first Sonic for the Mega Drive, it's actually quite slow compared to the second one. Yes, it is. It's slow pace. I don't know if it has the charge up attack where you push down and you can speed up the rotation of Sonic. I don't think that was in the first game, to be honest.
I'm not too sure.
I think that was brought in the second one. Yeah, Sonic 2. But yeah, it's definitely a lot slower. I mean, it's still got great music and replayability because it is a great platformer, paving the way for many more series of games throughout the years. The more recent releases are not as good, but yeah, this one, you know, is well received. It's praised for its graphics, which was directly in competition with the Super Nintendo, and showed that the Sega Mega Drive can actually compete with wonderful colors and music, because that was some of the issues people were having, is the Genesis didn't have as great a display as the Super Nintendo. Some people thought, I thought it was fine, but I believe the Super Nintendo had a better color output, if I recall correctly.
It had, the Super Nintendo pretty much had the best of everything but the processing speed, which made like games like Sonic or sports games or anything fast-paced better to play on the Mega Drive.
Yeah. This game has seen plenty of clones and has been the inspiration for many, many titles. It's one of the most successful gaming franchises and actual successful games in the series for Sonic ever. So that's a big achievement, because obviously the first one is inferior to the second, but people still recognize this is important to play. And it's also cited as one of the greatest games of all time because of what it's done for the industry. So I'll just give you the rundown of the publishing. So publisher is Sega, director Yuji Naka, producers Shinobu Toyoda, designers Hirokazu Yoshihara, and Yuji Naka is one of the programmers. It's been released on the Genesis, in arcades, Game Boy Advance, Windows, Nintendo 3DS, iOS, Android, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, Nintendo Switch.
Yep.
It is only single player. Tails was not in this game and wasn't released as a character until the second game. Even to this day, the first level is the Green Hill Zone, and I think most Sonic games at this stage, which are 2D side-scrolling, start off in the Green Hill Zone.
Yeah.
So it had some pretty state-of-the-art speeds that we spoke about. Had springs, slopes, bottomless pits, and vertical loops. There's plenty of hazards throughout the levels, and then there's a boss fight at the end of the second or third act featuring Dr. Robotnik in some form of robot or machinery. So basically, like most of the early Sonic games, you needed a ring to stay alive. Basically, if you have a, it's almost like a power-up mushroom in Mario. If you have a ring, you're okay. You can take a hit.
Yeah.
However, there is bottomless pits, which you can't recover from, spikes, and, you know, hazards like that, which give it that feel of, I know we talked about the comparison between this and Bubsy, how you can fall into the water or something and you're just dead.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're basically given three lives from the start of the game as a starting point, and you can get more by collecting 50 or 100 rings.
Yep.
There is checkpoints throughout the levels, as obviously there would be, but you can collect extra lives and power-ups through the levels. And there's six levels. And, yeah, just confirming, there was two acts per level. And then there is a special stage, which basically helps you collect more rings and power-ups to continue through the game. In terms of plot, I think I mentioned that it was just Dr. Robotnik. He's after the Chaos Emeralds and he's imprisoning animals. So there wasn't a great... I think in those early days, the story wasn't the main thing on their mind, but that's been the general premise even up till now, with Dr. Robotnik causing trouble.
Yep.
And is basically the, it's the Bowser to the Mario in that, in the Sonic universe.
100%.
So yeah, I remember picking this one up in the box from Cash Converters at Knox City for about $4.
Yep.
And yeah, I've definitely played a lot of Sonic games, and this one I have on the PS3 as well, and I play it from time to time. It is quite difficult, but also quite enjoyable. Yeah, because it is a lot more slower pace, I'd probably stick to Sonic 2.
Yep.
Or Sonic CD.
Okay.
But yeah, it's, you know, it's seen countless remakes, and even a remaster in 2013. Do you have any memories of this game you want to share?
Never, like as a child, I never really played Sonic. I was a Super Nintendo guy. The only person I know who had a Sega, but I'm not even sure if he had the Mega Drive, was my cousin. Bo, but not sure if we played it over there. It was more Alex the Kid on the Sega Master System that we played.
Yep.
So memories of Sonic, I don't really have that many. It was more my wife, she used to love, they had a Sega Mega Drive. They absolutely loved Sonic. So, like, we were playing the Sega Mega Drive collection, like, I think it was last year, and she was doing way better than I was. It's just it's a very fast-paced game. Mm. That's some things that I don't like about it, like going real fast around the loop-de-loops, trying to get over there, trying to be over here real quick. It's more memorizing the levels, which I'm not familiar with because I never grew up with it.
Yeah.
In terms of memories, don't have that many. You're more of the Sonic guy. I remember coming over to your house and you were always playing like the ones on the PS2 or yeah, you were the Sonic man.
Yeah, because it's funny because I didn't really have a Mega Drive until around the time when the 64 was released.
Yep.
But I did have a lot of exposure to Sonic due to a lot of my friends having Mega Drives.
Yep.
Or Genesis. I remember when I got my Game Boy Advance, one of the first games I got was Sonic Advance, and I continued to get all three of those releases, and they're great games. They play fast, but they're basically everything about these original games, just so much better.
Yeah, yeah.
With all the characters, of course, like Knuckles and stuff. But, yeah, I mean, you've got to sort of give credit to the original ones, and like this is still a fun game, but because there's been so many advances in the other titles, it's a bit of a stretch to go back and play this particular game unless you're really looking for something in particular out of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, just the fact that it's, you know, people are still playing it now because of how popular that franchise is, and even with the movie, I think being one of the most popular or highest grossing gaming based movies of all time, the recent 2020 release.
Yep.
You know, it's popular. Sonic's popular. There's been cartoons, there's been movies, there's been animated movies. So,
100%.
Yeah, it grossed what, $306, almost $307 million off of a $95 budget. So, you know, Sonic is popular. Unfortunately, the games have really taken a downward spiral in the last, say, let's say 10 years.
I think maybe a bit more. Last good game that we both enjoyed was maybe Sonic Colors.
Sonic Colors was awesome. Sonic Generations? Yeah, Sonic Generations. Yeah, it was really, really good. That was probably that's one of my favorites. But after that, I mean, even recently, Sonic Mania is probably the first one I've played in a long time that's actually really good.
Yep.
And I played one recently on the DS, which is good too, but I think it's Sonic Rush. But yeah, I haven't, you know, as for these new ones, Sonic Unleashed on the PS3, I played that probably about 6 months ago, and that was pretty average too.
Yep.
They're just not Sonic games. They're just, they've gone in another direction. So, yeah. Anyway, but that's it for Sonic. So check out Sonic. Obviously, you've heard of it, but if you're a retro gamer, but, you know, go back and play the original titles and experience what it was like when they first started making these sorts of games.
Yep. Yeah. Go back to the roots.
Go back to the roots. Anyway, we're going to get into some gaming news now, so why don't you take us through that?
Yeah, we've got Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2 remastered coming out later this year. I don't know if I'll go back to them, but I was watching the Jack Black thing that came out. He was playing it with Tony Hawk's and his kids, and it actually looked pretty good. I'll probably pick it up if it's like real cheap, but I'm not going to pay full retail price for this game. We had The Last of Us Part 2 trailer was released as well in the past fortnight. Looks pretty good.
Yep.
Been waiting for that game for a while now. I loved the first one. We also had Harvest Moon One World is launching on the Switch later this year.
Great.
We've got Paper Mario, The Origami King, is coming to the Switch on July the 17th. If all goes well with, I suppose, the pandemic going around, no delays or whatnot.
Yep.
As mentioned earlier, Mafia Trilogy is being remastered and is set to be released later this year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to the first one and possibly the second one as well, because that was the game I played and I loved. But the third one, in my opinion, doesn't need being re-released. It only came out like less than 4 years ago. We've got Wild Guns, Operation Logic Bomb, Panel de Pong, which is Tetris Attack, on the SNES. And we got Rygar on the NES. We'll be releasing this week at time of recording on the Nintendo Switch Online service, and I believe all those games are awesome. Operation Logic Bomb, in my opinion, is a hidden gem. It's a very fun game. Wild Guns is a very good game. It's actually a very expensive game to own the physical cartridge too. Panel de Pong is so much fun. And Rygar is a good side-scrolling platformer too. We've also got the Wonderful 101 remaster to come out Friday.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that is my gaming news.
That's interesting there. Again, doing a doing a HD version of the Wonderful 101.
I agree. It's coming out on the PS4 this time, so not just the Wii U.
Well, yeah. Look, I've got the other one, the original one.
Yeah.
Sitting in a pile behind my television ready to go after I beat Color Splash. So I'm going to play it on the Wii U. I'm not going to bother with the PS4 version.
Nah, see, I got the Wii U version as well. Like, I wouldn't even bother. It's not even that old. It looks great on the Wii U too.
Yeah. Anyway.
Where you can find the show is on any good podcasting source. So you got your Apple podcast, you got Spotify, got Stitcher, you got Deezer as well, and we got Wooshka as well. Please look out and find the show any way you can. You can also, as mentioned earlier, look for Gamers Down Under on probably one of those platforms too. And you can find our Facebook page on Power On Retro Gaming. And also on Instagram as well under the same handle, and Power On.